You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church or other additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
Let me pray. Jesus, we ask you that you would come and you would meet us where we are, God, and Lord, that you would not leave us where we are. And God, as we are demonstrating faithfulness to you, God, through all these things that are happening today, I'm just asking you, Lord, that your presence will be here, that you would come, you would soften hearts, and Lord, that you would work amongst us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. I just want to really kind of go, can you just go into that slide, next slide that says...
Good morning, church friends and family. My name is
Cooper. There we go. Good, good. That's later. I just want to really walk you through some of these things that, what does it mean to be in Christ? What does it mean to be in Christ? And when we, hold on. There we go. Can you see that better?
All right.
I'm very OCD, so it helps me so much. So this is what Scripture says in Romans 5:17. For the sin of one man, Adam, the sin of one man caused death to rule over many. That's all of us. It caused death to rule over many. But even greater, God's wonderful grace, which is what we're grateful for as a church, right? And his gift of righteousness for all who receive it, right? There's a condition to that. It will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because of one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. And there's another scripture that I want to show you here. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And Romans 8 verse 1 says this, therefore there is now no condemnation in those that are in Christ Jesus. And so I want you to kind of see here that these scriptures are pointing that they're pointing out that there's a lot of ways to divide people in our society. But according to scripture, you can either be in Adam or you can be in Christ. And you can share in Adam's sin or you can share in Christ's victory. And those are the only two places. Those are the only, in Adam, you are open to the influences of sin, the devil, and your flesh influencing you and moving you towards eternal condemnation. But in Christ, you are indwelt by the Spirit of God, and he's working on you. It's what we call already but not yet. You are saved from the penalty of sin. You are being saved from the power of sin. You will be saved from the presence of sin when he comes and calls this whole thing a wrap. This is what he's doing inside within us. So Adam was the first Adam, and the Bible actually says that Jesus is the second Adam. The first Adam kind of came in and screwed it all up. The second Adam came in and corrected it, right? The first Adam turns from the Father in the garden. The last Adam turns to the Father in the garden. The first Adam was naked and unashamed. The last Adam was naked and bore our shame. The first Adam sin brought us thorns, right? Look around, see what's going on in our society. The first Adam sin brought thorns. The last Adam wore a crown of thorns for us. The first Adam was substituted himself for God. If you really want to be like God, do this, this, and that. But the second Adam was God substituting himself for sinners. The first Adam sinned at a tree. The last Adam bore our sin at the tree, at the cross. The first Adam died as a sinner. The last Adam died for sinners. So according to the Bible, in Adam we all die. And in Christ we are born again in Jesus Christ. Yes. So and it says, this is what Romans 5 says, for as in Adam all die, all of us in here, we are condemned under the sin of Adam. As in Adam, all die, but so even so in Christ, all shall be made alive. And so in Adam, there is condemnation, but in Christ, there is salvation. In Adam, we receive a sin nature, but in Christ, we receive a new nature. In Adam, we are cursed, right? In Christ, we are blessed. In Adam, there is wrath and there is death, but in Christ, there is love and there is life. There is life eternal. That's why John 3:16, we all know it. It says, for God so loved the world. He loved us so much when we were so unlovable. He loved us so much when we were so stuck in our sin that he actually sent his son on a rescue mission, emptied heaven of its jewel. Jesus Christ, the one that is the brightness of all eternity, emptied heaven so that he can send his son on a rescue mission to save us. Tell me that does not kindle flames in your heart to be grateful for what he has done. So in Adam we are condemned, but in Christ, so that all who believe in him will not perish but have eternal life, a life that we are enjoying now, but we are going to enjoy in full with him for all eternity. This is eternal life, John 17:3. That we may what? That we may know Christ. Now we get to enjoy eternal life, but we will enjoy it to its fullness. This is like your car that you're still paying for. It's yours, but it's not yet yours already. Like you're gonna enjoy your car with all the payments done, but you are still, it's yours, but it's not yet yours. Eternal life is like that. It's ours. We get to enjoy peace with God, and it's so beautiful, right? So after the Last Supper, Jesus was so distressed about his impending crucifixion. He knew what he was doing. While his friends were falling asleep and failing him, he remained awake into the night. He was sweating drops of blood. And he was so stressed that he was praying and talking and communing with his father in this garden. And he was betrayed even by one of his closest friends. This is our Jesus Christ. Have you ever been betrayed? He knows what it feels like. He was arrested, right? Treated really bad by the government, right? Trumped up charges, like, right? And they brought false witnesses around him. And there was a mob that came and they beat him severely. He was stripped in shame. He was whipped. And the soldiers used what they call the flagrum, right? The flagrum, a torture tool that with the handle, it proceeded. There was strips of leather that proceeded from there that were basically like that had bonds at the end. And they wanted to tenderize Jesus' back and his legs and his buttocks. And they started hitting, and this thing had hooks, and they sank deep into his flesh, ripping off skins, muscles, tendons, and bones. You want to know how heavy our sins are? Look at the cross. Look at the cross. It was our sin that put him there. It was our sin. The Son of God, who had known no sin, was suffering for our sin, and we see him there. And his body shook violently with trauma, and his blood loss was severe, right? And his tormentors were oppressing him, and there was they put a crown of thorn as a mockery on him. On his back, they dropped a heavy, rough hewn crossbar, which he was forced to carry. And there's this mocking crowd. Listen, there was a mocking crowd as he was walking down. He heard the same voices that welcomed him into Jerusalem were mocking him as he was walking, carrying that cross. And this thing had splinters on it. The splinters were getting into his wounds. And as he's walking, what they call the Via Dolorosa, he's walking down, he is sweating, and blood is just his sweat is getting into his wounds, and he's walking there. And the Bible says it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross. What was that joy? It was the joy of you and me making it in eternity. It was the joy of you and me reconciled with God, getting to know Him for who He is, because sin had separated us with God. And this joy we get to share together. After getting help carrying that cross, Jesus arrived in Golgotha, and where the soldiers and the crowd disrespectfully, they pulled out His beard, they spat on Him, they mocked Him in front of His family and His friends. Have you ever been embarrassed? Have you ever been shamed? He knows what it feels like. And there was an equivalent of railroad spikes. And they put them on His hands and on His feet, containing the most sensitive, your hands and your feet contain the most sensitive nerves centers in the human body. And He was lifted up, and the mob cursed Him, and His body convulsed with blood and sweat just dripping off Him. And soon after that, Jesus gave up His spirit and He died. But before He did that, He said, "It is finished. It is finished." Today, He looks at the sinner next to Him and says, "Today, you shall enjoy paradise. Today, your sin is no longer separating you with God anymore. God is accepting you because of what I have done. Today, you shall be with my Father in paradise. You will be with me." He was afflicted both by us and for us. Our sins killed the Son of God, but His death brought us life. His death brought us life, and His affliction was for our salvation. See, what we have is this. There's a quote that is out: if man was born well, then all he needs is little moral guidance in his life. If a man is sick, then all he needs is to cooperate with the physician and get well. But if man is born dead in his sin and in his trespasses, he needs to be resurrected. He needs to be resurrected, and he is incapable of doing that for himself. So if you think that you are well, Jesus is just going to be a doctor for you. If you think you just need to be taught, Jesus is just going to be a teacher. But if you are dead in your sin, and you can see the gravity of your sin at the cross, which is empty, by the way, at the cross, you will come and you would fall before Him. And you would say, "God, I recognize what you have done for me." And so for us today, there are three ways we're celebrating these things. And we're celebrating them because Jesus said, "I do not want you to forget these things. I want you to proclaim my death, resurrection, and ruling and reigning until I come back." And how do we do that? The first thing that we do is that we do it by baptism. And baptism, it's an outward expression of this inward change that He has done inside of us, right? It's an outward expression, inward change. He comes, raises us up with Christ so that we don't have to die the same death that He did. So this is what Romans says, "Therefore, we've been buried with Him." Look at this. This is, we are vicariously participating in what He's doing. We've been buried with him through baptism into death. So as we go down into water, we're buried with Him so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. Isn't that beautiful? This is not just water. For us, we are literally remembering that day when He went into that dark grave and spent 3 days in there. And He went sacrificing Himself. But also, we are coming out of this water. And we are imagining Christ kicking down that door of the grave, that big boulder, and raised into the newness of life with a body that was not going to perish. And He was raised to the Father, was sitting next to the Father. And He says that those that are risen with Him are seated with Him in the heavenly places. Our God is not ashamed to be seen with you. So beautiful. So it's a symbol. It's not a means of salvation, right? Then we're celebrating covenant membership. And in this, what we're doing here is that what we're saying, you can either be, you can membership has these three commitments. You're committing yourself to Jesus, being amongst a body of people that are pursuing Jesus, that are gospel centered, and you are constantly learning, and you're being held accountable. You are accountable to church leadership people that are being held accountable, but also that are helping you, conforming you into the image of Jesus Christ. But you're also committing yourself to the body of Christ, where basically you get to be involved in community, serving the body and giving of your gifts, talents, and treasures, right? And if you're missing this, then you become, basically there are some people that will come into a church and they will stay within a church and never really commit to membership. Then they become rebels. Those are the people that want God. They want fellowship with his congregation, but they don't feel committed to his mission, the vision, and the values of the local church, right? And they have no submission to elders. Or you can be a consumer. A consumer is that person who wants the church and what it has to offer, doesn't really want the church. And they want this is just a one-way street. I'm just coming to get from God, never turning around and serving. And then there's also actors underneath there. Those actors are those that want to check off all the organizational boxes. I went to church, I did this and all that, but at the same time, there's no connection with Christ. And so membership helps you with those things. And it's a little bit easy for us to be able to walk with each other when we've covenanted with each other, that we are in this together. Amen? Amen. And then we also have communion. Communion is for us, we believe what Paul said here. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that on the night Jesus died, he was betrayed. Jesus, when he was betrayed, he took bread. Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, in which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Why? Because we're prone to forget. In the same way, he also took up the cup, and after that, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, you drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So for us, it's a remembrance. We're remembering what he has done. We're remembering his suffering, his death, but also we are remembering the past work that he did for us and the current work that he's doing in our lives and the future work that he's going to finish at consummation. But also we're proclaiming that his death is what gave us life. We're also proclaiming this. We're proclaiming that. We're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. We're saying that his death is still valid to cleanse people's sin today. And we're also proclaiming that he's gonna come. And he's gonna, every time we take the bread, we're proclaiming him as the returning king. Is going to come for us. Let me pray, and then we're going to get into what we have today. Jesus, I pray. And Lord, I'm praying, God, even for my friends. Some of them have never heard a clear presentation of what you've done for us at the cross. And they know that, Lord, their sins are separating them with you. But let them today lay them all down and receive this new life that is in you, Jesus. So right where you are seated, if this is you, and you know that if today Jesus was to come, you would not participate in the glory that he has set aside for those that love him, that have accepted him. Today is a good day to make that choice. In fact, as I've been talking, he's been talking to your heart also. And all you have to say is say yes to him. and let him come and wash up all your sins. And man, we would love to get to know about that. So there's a card next to you. Just if you can reflect that, and would love to get to know that, and then would love to pray with you at the end. But so, Lord Jesus, for those of us that have known you for a while, I'm just praying that, God, today, this would be like watching a wedding where we always are brought back to the memories of what our weddings look like. That, Lord, we would leave out of this place grateful for what you've done. And some of us, Lord, let us renew our vows with you today. Just know you better. Let us rise up from our complacency and chase after you, because we know you violently chased after us. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For service times, additional audio, along with any other information about our church, please visit citychurchpa.org.